T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Fitz, Bob Fitzgerald will join us at 12:30. Voice of the Golden State Warriors, of course. It's going to be called us a playoff game for TNT down in the bubble. We'll ask him about the setup and whether or not he's prepared to call games without fans. And, of course, the Steph and Dame Dalla conversation. A lot of people think Dame Dalla is now the best point guard in the NBA. Can you stake that claim without even playing in the playoffs? We don't even know if the Blazers are going to make the playoffs yet, fellas.
No, we don't. We don't. But he's playing great basketball. He's doing everything he had to do to get them close, obviously, or give them a shot at it. And it is a recency bias type of thing with Lillard, because obviously he just scored 51 and 61. But the bigger issue to me, rather than who's better or where they are, is where are Steph and Lillard at in their careers? And what I always hearken back to is torches are always passed, and they may not be passed when you want them to be passed, but torches always get passed. And Steph Curry took the torch from Chris Paul, and the question is Damian Lillard at some point maybe going to take the torch from Steph Curry? And if so, when? And the fact that Steph Curry's been hurt, was hurt all season, the fact that the Warriors aren't in the bubble, and I also think the fact that there's some uncertainty around the Warriors makes Lillard more attractive right now than maybe he would be had the Warriors, let's say, been whole this year and they were down in the bubble as a playoff team too.
Yeah, and it just goes to what we talked about in depth yesterday, you know, just that Blazer team. They got size, they got Dame, they got CJ, their own version of the Splash Brothers. And if this goes wrong and the Warriors don't get it right, or the guys can't contribute right away, you know, Bonte, next year's Warriors, you could be looking at a Blazer team that you know, the Warriors are looking up at them, you know, looking up at Dallas. So that's why it's exciting. I'm here for it. But I got one quick takeaway about Dame and Steph. Do you know, because my sons are calling Dame Logo Lillard, because he's shooting like Steph Curry, but they don't get up like Klay Thompson per se. Do you think that is why they got that range? Because I just wonder, you know, guys always tell you get up high on your jump shot. Yeah, but those two don't get super high, Bonte and Steiny, and I just wonder, is that why they got that unlimited range to where they can pull from anywhere without jumping to the top of the roof of the arena? It's incredible.
Boy, that's a great question.
I actually think Clay's got elevation on him.
Great question.
No, Clay got the ultimate elevation. Dame and Steph, they kind of, you know, well, they Steph Rick Fox.
Steph doesn't shoot a jump shot.
Right.
He doesn't. So he can – that's the big reason why he's got huge range.
Right, and Lillard, I think Dame is there too, Steph. He gets up a little, you know, but Steiny, it ain't a lot. And I'm like, that's why they can do it that far.
Lillard doesn't have to create quite as much space as Steph.
Right.
But that's not a criticism of Steph.
No, I know it's not.
Who's better at finishing?
Now, I told you Steph has been better, Steiny. Would, he's gotten better.
I would,
he ain't getting
I would
credit.
Say Lillard. But
I would say Lillard too, Bonte. That, and that yeah. ain't no diss to Steph, because Steph has definitely improved that. But Dame, like I said, I think Dame's a little more explosive.
I respect that.
Okay, yeah. And it's no slight to Curry listening. That. You know, that's my guy.
I mean, like, the thing is, and I've said this, like, the thing about Klay Thompson, like, when you if you catch the ball in a standstill position behind the three-point line, not a lot of players can shoot their jump shot from out there. They can shoot it if they take a dribble into the line, get some momentum. But that's the thing to me that makes Klay ultra special. You know, Kobe could do it. Jordan could do it.
Wow,
it's called raising up from anywhere, and your form doesn't change one iota. To me, Klay reminds me a little bit of like a kangaroo when he – the way
it's
he
real.
Can jump beyond the arc. I mean, it is hard to
His
shoot
legs
a
look
jump
like
shot
tree trunks.
That far
yeah.
out.
Right. Klay's, yeah.
No doubt. And one thing we could also ask Fitz, not to change subjects or topics here, is about college football. I know Fitz is a big Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan. Huge. Wow. And I believe Notre Dame is going to play an ACC schedule where they'll play Clemson and Miami and I think Florida State, North Carolina, all those teams in the ACC. So we'll get Fitz's thoughts on that as well. Just I know this market is not a big college football market. Obviously, it's pro sports, but – will you guys miss anything about college football? Like,
yes.
You guys tease me about tweeting Mountain West games. You guys know I'm going to miss it. But I wonder how you guys feel about that.
Stani, I'm going to miss it immensely.
I mean, I'll just – usually Saturdays for me are out and about days. Sundays are NFL days. I mean, it's true. I mean, look, I went to every Penn State game at home for 2 years back in the day, and there's nothing like that kind of environment. It is incredible. I just got to go to a game. I don't want to watch a game. Now, you know, we're talking about the national championship, or we're talking about, you know, Alabama playing LSU for the conference title. That, to me, that's different, but, you know, I'm a little different than Bonte. I'm not watching Air Force Utah State. You know
I'm watching all. The MAC on Thursday nights on ESPN2.
Buffalo.
Watching
Buffalo.
Tuesday night
I'm watching
Tuesday night action.
And this is the beautiful part about college football.
Of the chicken,
you take it for granted. And also, too, it's not 10 a.m. on a Saturday. It's 9 a.m. You get some starts at 9 a.m. on a Saturday, Bonte. And it'll go all the way through to 10 o'clock at night, Steiny. And, yeah, I have things to do. But if you don't, you always could count on the primer before NFL Sunday. And if college football doesn't give me that, I'll definitely be sad. And, Bonte, you talked about it on the conference call. It's one of the best things I ever heard. Some people watch cartoons on Saturday as a kid. You watch college football. That was great. And, I mean, man, you don't have that. That's definitely a void, man.
Yeah, it's going to hurt. But, I mean, the void in just the pro leagues. Not only the NFL, but the NBA and Major League Baseball and what it does to the scouting departments and how they had to shift their philosophies and just scouting and finding out players. Like, we talked about this all during the pandemic.
What the Warriors
are
dealing
Myers, with. Yeah. How do you really evaluate Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman and Obi Toppin? How are John Lynch and company going to evaluate any of these college football players if they don't play? And that's basically what we saw in college basketball. We're all waiting for the tournament, right? Obi Toppin. Let's see what he does in the tournament, the big dance, March Madness. The ripple effect is going to have on all these leagues, I think it's going to be tremendous, right? I mean, guys are going to slip through the cracks. There's going to be diamonds in the roughs more so than any other year, I believe, in these upcoming drafts.
Yeah, and I wonder, and I think we're going to really get a different view of drafts, and the NBA and NFL in particular, because they're all operating – with less information. But the teams with the biggest databases, essentially, or the most scouts, or the most information, I think they're going to have a big edge. For example, if, you know, I'll just take basketball, for example. you start scouting guys the minute that the college basketball season starts in November. And the one thing I've always found is if you ask an NBA guy about a college player right around December, they'll give you the truth. But as you move forward toward the draft, you'll get less and less information. But what I'm saying is if and I'm not saying the Warriors did this, but if because they have the number one pick, but if you're a team that was planning to cram, we're going to send scouts all over for these for the conference tournaments, and then we'll have people all over the regions for the NCAA. Well, you're in a little trouble now. The teams that have done their homework, and not just homework for this past year before the pandemic, I'm talking about a player who's been in college for 2 or 3 years, and a certain team has seen this player for two or three years, they're going to have a huge advantage over a team that's just, let's take a look at a couple guys who are seniors who may jump through, who we've just heard about. I think we're going to be able to tell which teams kind of did their homework and which didn't.
Yeah, and we may be looking at that, the basketball version of the NBA with this draft when it happens. And we're going to find out where the Warriors draft next Thursday in regard to the lottery. But, Bontan Steiny, I gotta think that goes both ways in regard for the player. Like, some may get drafted and, you know, they may say, man, we didn't know Bonte couldn't go across the middle, or he couldn't do – you know what I mean? He couldn't hold this block. And, you know, I just hope this is a one and done to where this pandemic is curtailed and we don't have to deal or even see or think about what we saw not only on the high school level, but what just was announced in the Pac-12 to where these seniors don't get their last year. And I'm talking about across the board in college athletics, because I'm serious, man. It is sad, emotional. And you just – some things in life you don't get back. And for the high schoolers or the seniors, especially in college too, you don't get that back, Bonte.
You don't. We're talking about, you know, obviously not having college sports, and we've seen no fans at these games, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the Premier League. Well, Guru's guy, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, spoke out today at about first time we've heard from him since everything has gone down. And here's what he said something about, we're going to have grace in it all. He's got a couple of long quotes here, long cuts here about yapping, about whether there's going to be fans at the game and what's going to happen this year. Let's start with the first one, fellas. Jerry Jones saying, we're going to have grace.
These are very sensitive times. I have nothing to prove as far as where I'm standing with the flag and where the Cowboys stand. I have nothing to prove regarding my players and my support of our players. What I do want to show and want us all to be a part of is a word called grace. Grace. Not only grace in our actions, but grace in our understanding where they're coming from. I want our players to understand the perception and where they're coming from regarding the flag and the sensitivity there and the many memories there. And I want our fans to understand and better do because of what's gone on over the last few months. And want them to understand where our players are coming from there. And they do not feel like that the ones that want to basically do that, kneel, they do not feel like they're dishonoring the flag. I'm going to have grace. I've had grace. Many of you have written and criticized me for having too much grace and understanding regarding our players, and I probably have. And I'm going to have grace regarding the people that are sensitive about our flag. Somewhere in between there, as the weeks, as we get together with our team, as we discuss with the team, somewhere in between there is how we're going to handle it.
And he's just speaking about the flag there. He had a word salad. That hurt me. That's two minutes and 30 seconds. We won't play that because it's all over the place, but Jerry Jones speaking about the political, not the political issues, but how the Cowboys will approach the national anthem. By the way, I'll let you guys respond to that in just a second. Just want to think about this one. A lot of Texans are talking about George Kittle signing an extension. Greg Cohn from Sports Illustrated, formerly the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, saying that he's heard that Kittle may sign an extension on Friday, 6-year deal.
Interesting.
it would be the right thing to do to me, you know. And
again,
you know, we hear all, you know, you see everybody else get taken care of. And I know those weren't players on the field, but you kind of just want that security for them, especially when you don't know what next year's going to look like in regard to the salary cap. And if Kittle were to be, you know, an example of how that messed up because the team didn't have the necessary resources that they thought they were going to have. But to me and what he means to the team, the right thing to do would be able to announce Friday that we got a deal done. He doesn't strike me, Steinie, as the type that's asking for everything under the sun, because he's kind of said some, like, this is where he wants to be. I just find that like a match made in heaven for something to go sideways and that be an issue moving forward.
Let me bring it back to Jerry Jones for a sec. He wants people to have grace. I actually looked up grace. Because it's, you know, we use the word or hear the word. So it basically means goodwill.
Right.
Goodwill, courteous goodwill. So let me just throw – so it sounds to me what he's saying is, let's be courteous and have goodwill to the people who kneel and the people who don't kneel. Let's respect all of that and then have – that's what it sounds like. And tell me – let me just throw this at you, and I've told this story before. Is this kind of what he's talking about?
Yeah.
So when Phil Jackson was coaching the Bulls, he had a million ways to motivate. One day he came into a room with the Bulls players with an archery bullseye, you know, an archery target that had a bullseye in the middle with the circles around it, you know what I'm saying, like a dartboard. Yeah. And he told all his players, he gave them a marker. And he said, if you feel connected to the team right now,
right?
If you really feel like you're a Bull, you love, if you feel like you're in this, I want you to put the red, you know, the dot, the marker, right in the bullseye.
Right.
If you're feeling like you're not a part of this team, you're straggling a little, you don't feel like you're getting the support you need, put it further away. And they did that, and they weren't allowed to talk. So Phil Jackson leaves the room. So apparently, like, Michael Jordan goes and puts an X kind of near the bullseye, and Scottie, and so anyway, it gets to Scottie Pippen, and he goes up and he puts an X completely off the whole target itself.
Wow!
It was like on the, he put it like a mile away, and that was it. That was it. Nobody, but the whole team knew. Pippen was feeling some kind of way.
Right.
He wasn't
right.
Feeling connected.
Right. Right.
And so through the team dynamic, Phil Jackson, without having to tell anybody, you know, what ends up happening, hey, Scotty, how you doing, man? What's going on? Talk to me. What's up? And then you bring Pippen back into the, you know, the target, and you can get everybody in that target. It sounds to me like what Jerry Jones is saying, and I would support this 100%, you get one guy who stands, you get one guy who kneels, and you have a dialogue about why. Like Greg Popovich, he
right.
stood. He stood the other day for the national anthem, mm-hmm. and then he shared why he stood for the national anthem. Somebody kneels for the national anthem, I'd like to hear exactly why you're kneeling.
Right.
I think that's
but
the
Jerry ran
to
from
this.
That, Steinie, and I'm
I
not
know
saying
he did.
You're wrong.
I know
and the
he
fact
did.
That you've been a mute, and let's be honest, he's got skeletons in the closet. He went on record and said any Cowboy player last year that kneels would get cut. That was controversial, and he owns a team that has a large black population that roots for the team. And then when all these protests go down, I'm not asking you to be Martin Luther King, but
right.
at least say something. He didn't say a damn word. So to a lot of people of color, minorities, he was saying words, Steinie and Bonte. The fact that he didn't even feel inclined to come out and show what side he was on. And then when you finally have your day today and you're a wordsmith, you come out and say you don't. Yeah, Jerry, you do owe it. You do owe it to the people that are here listening, wanting to see your stance. Don't lie to us. But what he basically said, Steinie, It made no sense. He was all over the place. Grace, hey, what do you think about what's going on with social injustice, Jerry? I don't even know if that was asked to him, but if I was writing something for Jerry, even if he didn't believe it, I'd have been like, hey, I'm in a whole hell of a lot of hot water, a lot of people pissed off at me not talking. I'm a jerk at all, and that was just a D-minus for me effort in regard to grabbing the mic and not soothing people, Steiny, but that was bad. That just I don't know what he accomplished right there.
I mean, he might not have been eloquent,
right,
in what he said, and he clearly was as careful as he possibly could.
But what, real quick, Steiny, what about the beginning? Set the tone. I don't owe anybody my stance on. Yes, shit, that's what this is about.
No, I think what
it looks like you said. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I thought what he meant by that was everybody knows where I stand.
Right.
To tell you the truth, not I don't owe it to anybody. Like, kind of everybody knows where I stand. I'm not a Neil guy. But I guess what he had also said later in the interview was, I don't know what I'm going to do or what's going to happen with the kneeling.
Right.
Which speaks volumes itself.
It was kind of a word salad,
right,
and maybe I'm interpreting it wrong. But I did feel like he was saying, in his own way, we do have to figure out a way to respect both sides and be civil.
Right.
Okay. Maybe, can I end it with this?
I'm not saying I'm right.
No. Yeah. And I'll say this, Steiny, me being black and him being called out by his new black players,
fair,
me being black, right, that meant that hurt me more than it helped, Steiny.
Yep.
And that's what I thought he was trying to accomplish today. There's no black player on that team that feels better now by him saying those words are basically nothing. And then what else do you need to see to decide, Jerry, that you're going to give him a pass and say it's okay to kneel? I mean, what else do you need to see go down? I just – that hurts.
Yeah, it's, you know, I would say, man, I wish Jerry Jones had a Raymond Ritter in his corner, but you know, Jerry Jones, he runs everything down there in Dallas. So he's probably not listening to anybody, and he tried to construct this in the best way he thought it could happen. Sometimes it's just better not to say anything. You know, in that situation with Jerry Jones, I know we all want him to speak, but it's probably
it's been that way. He ain't said nothing.
You don't even need to say anything. You know, it takes me back to when the Cowboys on Dwight Clark Day, when they honored Dwight Clark at halftime, Jerry Jones held court after the game, and it was a bunch of what he just said. You know, it was the same thing essentially. And it's like, you know what? I already know his thoughts. He's making it worse by talking.
And real quick, go ahead, B.
No, I was just going to say, that's all. It's probably, if we didn't hear from Jerry Jones today, it would have been great. We don't need people like Jerry Jones to speak on these issues, because obviously they feel some type of way about what's going on.
And real quick, Steiny, the black beat writers, they're all on social media upset at what Jerry presented them today. So not just with the players that we were like, yeah, they got to be. It's the beat writers, and it's not one or two. It's a lot that are offended that Jerry didn't show any compassion.
Okay, that's what I was asking. Like what you said. I don't know what you thought about what he presented today. Like a whole bunch of nothing, essentially. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. No doubt. Yeah.
I got you.
But he did let us know he doesn't owe us it. Basically, he said, I don't owe you an answer on why I haven't talked on social justice. I haven't even decided if I'm going to let my players kneel. So basically, everything that's impacted our world has not changed his view one iota. And forget me, that's what's sad about it.
No doubt. No doubt. Bob Fitzgerald will join us next. I also, fellas, Ramona Shelburne. I want to get to what happened yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we forgot all about that. Ramona Shelburne and her MVP vote on why she voted for so-and-so. We'll get into that a little bit later. Bob Fitzgerald next, and it will be brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Chilton Auto Body is open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options, along with free pickup and delivery. Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates and curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your own vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Do not forget to download the radio.com app. Search 95.7 The Game and add it to your favorites. And don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. Use your rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours. And you can also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa or hey Google, play 95.7 a game. Bob Fitzgerald will join us in moments to talk about what he's seen in the bubble, draft lottery, who he thinks is a good prospect. We'll talk about Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards, Connor Letourneau joined us yesterday, said Anthony Edwards is the guy. You guys still feeling like, 24 hours later, how you guys feel about that?
I take it with a grain of salt, Bonte. I'm certainly, I know there's a lot of speculation before the draft, and you got to try to figure out how much is true, how much isn't.
Let's bring in Fitz. Fitz just called. Bob Fitzgerald, longtime voice of the Golden State Warriors, a good friend here at 95.7 The Game, and he is going down to the bubble to call some playoff games for TNT, and the basketball has been real exciting in the bubble, no doubt about it. Fitz, what's going on, man? Bonte Steiny, guru here at 95.7 The Game, and our first 2 hours of the show were basically about Damian Lillard and Steph Curry. And I don't even want to ask you this, Fitz. I don't, but I have to. I believe the gap between Dame Lillard and Steph Curry has shrunk. But do I think Damian Lillard is now the best point guard in the NBA? Absolutely not. What's your thoughts on what Dame has done in the bubble and if there is a gap between Steph Curry and Dame Dalla?
Damian Lillard's phenomenal. It's one of my favorite players in the whole league. I love the fact that he was a four-year college player. I love the fact that he was an Oakland Soldier. I love the fact that he has not ever done the trade me to another team or I'm unhappy or I need to leave. Instead, he's stayed and built his franchise and is willing to, to kind of ride or die with the Blazers, just like Steph was with the Warriors. So I ain't ever going to say a bad word about Damian Lillard. I think he's fantastic. I think when you look at the resume, somebody has a couple MVPs and somebody has three championship rings. So, I've let that stand for itself.
Hey, Bob, I got to ask you about the rest versus the rust thing. Because I'm obviously Clay was hurt and missed the year, and Steph got hurt, only played five games. And I think we all agree that the Warriors benefit from some rest. At what point do we need to get back out there? Because, time's not standing still. And, I was just thinking, like, if they start the season next year, like in early next year, God, Steph's 33. Like, he will have missed, but he'll have played like five games in 18 months. I mean, this is still his prime. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the only, even this is a reach, but the only thing you can look at from a legacy player with the time off is Jordan going to play baseball. And when he came back from baseball, he was essentially the same age as Steph. So Michael seemed to do pretty well in the next iteration of the Bulls. They went on to win three more championships. So, and he had an extended period of time, not of relaxing, healing, and getting better, but obviously trying to play a whole different sport. So I think it's possible, but if you were to tell me, hey, any of these guys take a year off, which is essentially what Clay and Steph have had, and they're going to do X when they come back, this is all unknown because it just doesn't happen.
Right.
It doesn't happen. I mean, guys do miss a year because of an ACL or, they miss a year with a significant injury. So we've seen, obviously, plenty of data for that. But for a team to, to have, a calendar year off and then try to get back together, that hadn't happened. So the Warriors have been history makers in many other senses. Let's see how they make history when they come back together and restart next season.
Hey, Fitz, I want to call a little audible and get some football take from you. There's a report out there that the Niners and Kittle may have a deal, and it may happen on Friday. When you hear that, and if that manifests, what comes to your mind?
Don't let George Kittle go play for anybody else.
There you go.
All these things for money, you the team has a real simple goal. Pay the guy as little as possible to not eat up as much as the salary cap, particularly since it's a hard cap in football. And the player's goal is, I don't know how many years I'm going to play football still healthy, make as much money as I can. So I think that George Kittle is the best tight end in football. And I know that he's going to have the best tight end contract. His agent has done the, you know, hey, give me the best wide receiver contract too. So that's a little trendsetter deal. But, you know, if you're the 49ers and you're in as good a shape as that franchise is, and you have, you know, you're climbing the mountaintop and getting to the Super Bowl, you pay George Kittle whatever you have to pay him and bonus it and stretch it out and all the little salary cap maneuvers. But I would, you know, the fact he would have a deal has me jumping up and down because I love the Niners and I love him.
What would that price point be, Fitz? We know everybody talks about positional value and do you pay a tight end, wide receiver 15, money?
16, 14,
I'm with you right there. We're 14, 15, 16. But what do you think the impasse has been so far with George Kittle with the 49ers?
Because well, the impasse with the football stuff is always how much money do I get today? You know, if I give you a $60 million signing bonus, you get that bonus today. And then if your contract is, you know, 4 years, you stretch it over the 4 years for salary cap purposes. So your salary in football could be $2 if your bonus is $80 million and you put that in the bank direct deposit that day. Hey, now if I snap my leg or whatever, I still have $80 million in the bank. So that's always what the crux is how much money today versus how much the team, you know, wants to pay them and then how they fit him in salary cap wise. So that, you know, this is a dance that we see in football all the time.
Right.
And you know, the other thing too is sometimes they do these crazy long deals like Mahomes deal, you know, oh, 10 years. I mean, nobody in football ever lasts 10 years. They restructure and rework and reform it. It's all just salary cap magic to make everything work.
Fitz, draft lottery. Next Thursday.
Yeah, big day.
Takes you back.
Huge.
Takes you back a little bit, doesn't it? Haven't been in one of those for a while.
Yeah. It's so funny you said that, Steiny, because it's like draft lottery. Let's see, we either had a playoff game that day, or I think we were playing golf that day, or something like.
Exactly.
You know, let me know what happens in the lottery. You know, but as you know, 8-9 years ago, man, lottery day was like the biggest day ever. So
it is
a little back to the future maneuver.
Let me ask you this, and tell me if you think this is the way. Where is he going to have a top four pick? If they make a move, do you think the move looks something like the pick and the exception for a player they like who makes around that money of $17 million?
I think that's clearly, you know, one area to go. Like, you know, if you look at – let's say they were in love with one of these top five players and they get the number one pick. And so it's like, boom, we just draft that guy and that's the guy. Okay, that's option A. Then option B is, you know what, we didn't get the number one pick, but we got the third pick. And we like a guy from 3 all the way to 10. Maybe you flip with a 3-10 team and then there's a player involved, you know. So it's like the pick, your exception for a player you wanted, and their draft pick. So there's a little flip back and forth. And then there's the scenario you just mentioned. Like, you find a guy who's making 17, 18, 19, and you go, hey, we'll give you the second pick in the draft and the trade exception. You know, you give us that ready-made $19 million player. So I think it's, you know, option A, B, and C. And I think Bob, you know, will take a look at, and Steve and Joe and Kirk and Mike Dunleavy will look at all the, you know, the option A's, the option B's, the option C's, and figure out what makes sense. The interesting part about going with another young player is you have the prime of Steph, Clay, Draymond, and Wiggins is even younger. So you've got, you know, what's the Warriors' horizon there? 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah.
And then a lottery pick, you know, might be your guy that's your 7, 8, 9 year guy down the road. So you're kind of doing two things at once. You want to be competitive and be a factor right away, of course, which they will be. But then you want to add pieces to make sure you sustain that and don't drop off a cliff, you know, once your championship window kind of closes up a little bit.
Fitz, I'm so happy to have basketball back, but one of my biggest takeaways have been these Western Conference teams and their length. You know, athletic bigs, guys that can do multiple things. Have you seen anything from a Western Conference team or teams that, you know, think about what the Warriors may need to do?
You know, I just know that, and Matt knows too, I mean, the West has been just such a head-knocker conference for 10, 15 years that, you know, you watch Sacramento and you go, you know what, man, they got some pieces. And you watch New Orleans and go, hey, Zion grows up with Brandon Ingram and those guys, they could be something. And then you watch Doncic and Porzingis, like, oh, Dallas, they're kind of a beast. And it's like, oh, man, look at Portland fully healthy. And then you get to, man, Chris Paul, what a leadership job he did with OKC, and they got all these young guys. And then, oh, by the way, there's Denver and the Clippers and the Lakers, and you're like, man, this conference is crazy. And so, and then, by the way, Phoenix is the best team in the bubble because they just haven't lost anybody. Right. So it's no different for me. I look at the Western Conference and just say, there are no soft touches in that league, and there never has been, really, and how the Warriors will be ready for that and come out of this. They'll be in the mix, but, man, they're hiding and winning 60-something games in the West over the next several years. That ain't happening for any franchise. The competition's too good.
Hey, Fitz, have fun down in Orlando. We can't wait to hear you on the airwaves. Iron Eagle seems like he's having a bunch of fun down there in Orlando. Must be weird for you now to broadcast.
No tampering,
no
Fitz.
Fans. Yeah, no tampering
no
either,
tampering
Fitz.
Down there on the team's behalf.
Hey, man, they got us. We have so many protocols and things that we have to follow. It literally is like, you know, call the game, back to your room, stay away from everybody. So I don't think that's going to be too much of a problem.
Hey, real quick, Fitz, what did you make of Draymond getting fined $50,000? I thought that was kind of weak.
You know what? I'm not commenting on tampering, so I don't get fined for tampering.
That's true. Okay,
there you
great
go.
Answer.
There you go.
Great answer, Fitz. Hey, Fitz, we'll talk to you soon, man. We'll get an update from you in Orlando in a few weeks here.
All right, sounds good, guys. Give me a buzz whenever you need.
All right.
Congrats,
Bob Fitzgerald. Congrats, man. Congrats. Bob Fitzgerald here on 95.7 The Game as we talk a little Warriors and George Kittle. So here's the update on George Kittle.
Okay.
Here's the update.
George Kittle.
Give me the guru. I need the guru one.
No, stop.
George Kittle.
There we go. That's the default. George Kittle. Guru's George Kittle here. Rumor. All right. Greg Cole says a rumor. 49ers web zone and 49ers on SI. 49ers will announce a 6-year, $94.8 million contract extension for George Kittle on Friday. This is per Greg Cole.
Uh-oh.
George Kittle has quote tweeted that report on Twitter. It said, y'all believe everything you read on the internet, huh? And he has an emoji there with just a face that's like, yeah, it's not true. Not true. So George Kittle said basically don't believe the hype. And Greg Cole basically saying,
Stiney.
Hey, this is going to happen on Friday. However, Matt Maiocco, Mike Silver, Ian Rappaport, they say the 49ers and George Kittle are making healthy progress towards a contract extension.
All right, can I jump in here?
You're the reporter.
The horse is back.
Okay, so
yeah,
here's the interesting thing. There's so much interesting here. Grant Cohn works for Sports Illustrated, and his story starts out, take this for what it's worth. All right, and then he says a well-placed source who has been correct in the past has texted me that the 49ers will announce George Kittle's contract extension Friday. Okay, so when you say take this for what it's worth, you ain't, like, there's wiggle room there.
I don't like that.
But he did present it. He presented it exactly like it happened to him. A guy that he trusts or woman texted him, this is happening. Clearly he doesn't want to but he handled it that way. So usually when something like this happens, the big boys will come out and scoff. Well, the big boys didn't really scoff. In fact, the big boys who've been saying that progress has been extremely slow are now acknowledging, well, things have progressed. And the last part of this, George Kittle's response is irrelevant to me. Believe it or not.
Why is that, Stiney?
I think Cone might be right.
Why?
There it is.
Why did George Kittle, though? Why do you scoff at George Kittle's rebuttal there?
Because I bet you any money he's in the middle of negotiations. I think he knows he's going to get re-signed, but it hasn't happened yet, and those guys always play it safe because George Kittle has to allow for a breakdown in negotiations, just like Lynch.
Okay.
No player, I'm telling you, these guys all say nothing's done until it's done. So I just think Kittle did what he did to be ultra-conservative.
Interesting. All right, here's Matt Maiocco. Real quick, Guru. Let me read this report from Matt Maiocco.
Yeah.
The sides have not reached any agreement, league sources indicated Wednesday to NBC Sports Bay Area, but they appear to be making healthier progress towards a deal that is expected to make George Kittle the highest paid tight end in the NFL by a wide margin. That is per Matt Maiocco.
But what Matt's saying does not contradict Grant Cohn. Matt's saying they have not come to an agreement yet. But I think they're pretty close. I think they both sides know it's going to get done. But they're just not willing to
go public
with it.
Go ahead, Guru.
But for Kittle to go say what he did in a public forum to me in a time that you're in a happy mood, even if you know the baby's coming, it's just about what is going to arrive. Steiny, I feel like not sour, but I feel like he put that out there because maybe they're not as close as we think, and he's feeling some type of way that people got some information and ran with it. Because normally, Bonte, when you're about to be this paid and get your dream contract, you would just let this go and just whatever. But to put it out there the way he did with the emoji, to me, again, it's just my prerogative. I feel like he feeling some type of way about that being out there and being far from true more than is likely to be true.
I think Kittle is in the middle of negotiations, and that Kittle, you know, there's still stuff to be worked out.
Right.
But I think Cohn got some information from a 49er source that said, we're going to get this done.
Right.
I'm telling you, we're going to get this done. Wow.
You know what?
And Kittle's like, well, not yet. We haven't gotten it done, but the Niners know they're going to get it done.
Right. And it may not happen Friday, but it could happen within the next week. And the numbers, that's what's going to be interesting is to see where the numbers are.
Because Grant Cohn
had very specific numbers. And as Steiny mentioned, one thing I always look for, too, it's funny, Steiny, you're right on the money with this. I look to see what the big boys are saying when a report comes out like this. And the big boys are saying, yeah, nothing's happening. That's false. They're going to come out and say that. Yeah. The big boys are saying things are progressing. Things are progressing. And we know in these negotiations that go on all night, they go on back and forth, back and forth. You're sending faxes or emails of parameters or details. Right. Something may be getting done. And so for the fact that people are quote tweeting Mike Silver and Maiocco, and they're saying, hey, Grant Cohn, there may be something to that. Grant Cohn may have cracked his code here. he may have cracked his code. And you're right, Steiny. The big boys are kind of with Grant Cohn here.
Here's the other thing, and I wish I had the timestamps on all this, all these. But assuming Cohn was first and said something, you know, look, they're gonna have a deal maybe by Friday. Well, what happens then is Maiocco sees it, Silver sees it, whoever the big boys are see it. And guess what they do? They make calls. And it sounds to me like when they made their calls, the information they got was, well, look, we're not there yet, but yes, we've made some progress. The thing I think is interesting is, and maybe it's just
Why
an old sports
Kittle
writer
sit,
trick.
Yeah.
I would have written something like George Kittle expected to sign within the week or something. In the next five to, you know, Friday's really specific. So he kind of locked, and like this is all a game that only the media cares about. But if George Kittle signs a contract on Saturday, there's going to be people that say Grant Cohn's wrong. That's the reason why I wonder why, unless he knows.
But the Kittle tweet don't shock you at all, Steiny?
Very little. Very little.
You know what it is to it? I'm looking at Twitter right now. I'm looking at Twitter right now, and it's just some live updates. And look, nobody cares about my Twitter. I'm not trying to make it about me or my Twitter, but I quote tweeted the Grant Cohn report saying, okay, Grant Cohn reported it. There's people saying, oh, imagine taking that guy seriously. And I say, why not? Why not? Grant Cohn, you know, everybody sees that Grant Cohn and I go at it, but we're actually pretty cool. We're pretty cool. We've had drinks. Grant's a good guy. He really is. And people don't take him seriously for some reason when he's on the beat. Well, why can't Grant Cohn say break a report like that? He's got numbers here, and I get it. Take it with a grain of salt. He's protecting himself from being wrong. I get that. But obviously Grant knows something here. He was talking about Jamal Adams, and hey, people think he got that right, that got that one wrong. People don't take him seriously, Steiny and Guru. I guess that's what I'm trying to say here.
Steiny,
and that's
can
why
I say something?
A rebuttal here.
Of course.
Okay. Can I say something, Steiny and Bonte?
Sure.
This is just me. Now, with what Bonte said is true, and I wonder if Cone was the first to report this, if the takeaway maybe, and I'm not saying Kittle's not fond of Cone, but do you think the tweet may have been Kittle's tweet to take something away from what your boy Grant may have got ahead on and went and not got credit for, but he was the first to report it? I just feel like there's some type of takeaway when Kittle follows up with don't believe everything you read on the internet. And in this case, what we're reading on the internet was what Cone sent out.
Well, first of all, Grant Cone's worked for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, and he now works for Sports Illustrated. And I know Sports Illustrated has undergone some changes, but nevertheless, he's a journalist. I have no idea what Cone's relationship is with Kittle.
Right.
If George Kittle knows Grant Cone and doesn't like him.
He's gone at it with players, Steiny, Grant Cone,
no,
and 49er players.
Okay. All right.
I tell you what. Where are you putting your money? I tell you what. If I had right now, my bet would be I think Kittle's going to sign on Friday.
Oh, no doubt. And we said that. Yeah,
well, I don't know about no doubt.
I told you,
but
the right thing to do for the Niners, and I said this, was you take care of Kittle, Bonte. Now, if it happens by Friday or whatever, that's a different thing. But it's
not. Friday's the key now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's the thing.
Right.
Shout out Ice Cube. Yeah.
See, I love this stuff. And I wonder if this is like too inside baseball for fans. Like, I've always wondered, like, do they even care about
who breaks it first or who's
– Yeah, and also kind of the nuance of all this.
Right.
Well, you know?
This is what I want to see. All right, so Grant Cone in this article says, according to a source, there would be a six-year extension worth $94.8 million or $15.8 million per season. We just have Fitz on. It said 14, 15, 16. Steiny, I think you and I have been in the ballpark. There are some people who believe he should get 20.
20?
Of that money, the Niners guaranteed 50% of his contract, $47.4 million. He'll also receive a $25 million signing bonus. And the structure, what happened here? A lot of pop-ups here. The structure of the deal is such a way that it will cost him only $10 million of cap space in 2021. So they're saying that Kittle could make up to $15 to $17 million per season. So that's what I'm looking for, Steiny Agu. What will the contract look like? If the contract looks like what Grant Cole just reported, then you got to give a hat tip to Grant Cole. You do. Because these numbers are very, very specific.
Yeah. I'll tell you, like, this is the kind of
guaranteed money.
Like, Guru's coming down my road about where's my passion at? Like, this to me is like, I find this interesting. I really do, because this is something I know very well in terms of how the game's played. And I could be wrong, but the tea leaves I'm reading,
I got to believe Cone and Kittle ain't besties, Bonte. I would bet on that too, Steiny, if that was a prop.
No, because Grant Cole's the one. You know, I respect every 49ers media member out there. They're all good people. Cam, Matt, you know, all of them. They're Chris Biederman. They're all good people. But Grant Cone is that outlier. He's willing to go at the big boys. And you know what? He swings for the fences sometimes. Sometimes he strikes out. Sometimes he gets a single. Sometimes he hits a triple. Can he hit a home run? And Kyle Matz is looking at me right now going crazy. Oh, man, here we go. You should have heard what Kyle just said to me in my ear.
Oh, I thought we had the breaking news sound.
No. We're going to talk more about him.
If you're going to come at the big boys, I just think that you should ask them questions in press conferences. That's all. If you're going to fire at him on Twitter and you have the availability for him, you should.
I'll
give you that.
No?
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
I thought I've heard.
We're coming up.
Anyway.
George
start
Kittle.
The clock.
George Kittle, start the clock.
Like,
according to Greg Cole,
back to the Niners.
George Kittle will assign an extension for 6 years, $94.8 million on Friday. 888-957-9570. Those numbers upset you? You like those numbers? Fair deal? No deal? Or do you think this report is false? 888-957-9570. We'll talk about George Kittle and his apparent contract extension coming up on Friday right here on BSNG. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.